We're starting our presentation on Alpha, and Avina's going to help me in a little while with this morning. So we're going to launch Alpha today and in the coming weeks. Who's seen the television outside? Yeah. So we've got a TV in the foyer. There's a lot of things that Avina's, you can actually go and see that desk afterwards. But I'm going to preach a little bit first, and then before Avina comes to do share on Alpha as well. But our vision for this year is we want to belong to God. And you know, that's why we allow the presence of God into our meetings, because we know one touch from God can change your life. We also want to belong to each other. And in belonging to each other, we befriend one another. Connect groups are a vital part of our Christian life. And small groups are going to start with Alpha, so we can invite our friends, which one's slightly different to connect groups, but same sort of deal, so that people can feel like they belong and connect to one another. How important are relationships in the scheme of things? And thirdly, we want to be driven by love. Love for other people. And so a pastor friend of mine, who happens to live on the East Coast, is a keyboard player for a secular band, which plays at pubs and parties. And he is passionate about his music and passionate about people. And none of the other band members, to my knowledge, are Christians. So they've designated him the leader and of the band, and he's very good. He just played for 2 seconds at home on my piano. My daughter's piano when he was over last trip, and he was amazing. I said, "Come on, play something for me." We were just blown away. And most of his gigs are on Saturday night, and he's got church like us Sunday morning, and he rolls in a bed about 2-3 a.m. he told me, and he gets up about 6 to pray and seek God for his morning meeting. Why does he play in a band? Well, number one, he told me, because he loves it. He loves it. We've got to do what we like to do, right? We win people because they like the same things we do. It was my brother's wedding yesterday, and I went surfing with some of my old mates before the wedding. And we got to talk about God a little bit in that. You see, you do what things do, and it creates environments where people can actually start to receive the presence of power and God in their life. Why else does he play a band? Well, I've already told you, so that there's opportunities, especially when you've got consistent relationships with those who don't know God yet. And so this verse says, I, the Son of Man, feast and drink, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of the worst sort of sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by what results from it. So number one, follow Jesus' lead. Number one, follow Jesus' lead. Jesus is being called what? A glutton and? I don't think you'll ever be a glutton. Anyway, and what? A drunkard. So what's he doing? He's what? He's drinking and partying. He's actually having a good time with other people. Is he? Now he's being accused by the religious people. They're supposed to be the church people. He's getting accused by the Pharisees, right? That they didn't understand him, so they just called him a glutton and a drunkard. And it's interesting to me that this scripture comes as a result of some of the crowd, and particularly the Pharisees, saying that John the Baptist must have been demon-possessed because he lived in a desert. That's how this all starts. And then Jesus is a drunkard and a glutton. It sounds like a script out of The Biggest Loser. And then he's not the biggest loser. We know that he was actually doing what God had called him to do. And because of John's asceticism, let's go back to John the Baptist for a minute. All right? Asceticism, new word for those of you who are still, okay? So his abstinence from alcohol and other things that could hinder the mission of God that God had given him. So he was like sent into the desert to win people to Christ. Sounds really strange, but God had a plan and a purpose to usher in his son. And so he lived in the wilderness, but thousands and thousands of people start to receive his baptism. They thought John was crazy, a lot of the people, especially the Pharisees. But the truth is, he was doing the work of God. How many times do we simply go along with the flow and agree with what we think seems to be right, rather than investigate for ourselves? This is the typical person. Jesus actually refers to him in this bit further on in his scripture as sheep without a shepherd. Let's be truthful. How many times do we go along with the flow? And we're not actually sure. But the beauty of what I like about even Alpha as a course is that it gives people opportunity to come and hear directly in 7 short weeks the gospel message of Jesus Christ. All who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist, Jesus says. Yet even the most insignificant person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. So what Jesus is saying is that when you've received Jesus as Lord of your life, that you have as much significance, it doesn't matter who's, because don't forget the disciples, they were arguing who's going to be the greatest. There's one thing that God wants us to do is all be on the same page that we can all relate with others that don't know Christ yet. This scripture goes on. See, our lives with Christ have meaning. And when our lives have Christ with meaning, who's glad they've got a relationship with God? You love God. Anyone else? Just give me a wave. You glad you've got a relationship with God? Who finds that the life of God makes a big difference in their world? That's good news. That good news, no one else that doesn't know God, they don't have that. They don't have that good news. But if we've shared our good news, and we're giving you the perfect opportunity to share that good news through the Alpha course coming up in May, which Avina's going to talk about in a little while. But this scripture goes on. And from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people attack it. Violent people what? Attack it. They attack it. I love to attack waves. I get on my board and I haven't caught up with an old guy yesterday. He's 63 years old. He's still surfing. There's hope for me. And he's I'm not quite that old yet. And he goes, Nigel, you're so violent on the waves. I like to rip them up when I get the opportunity. I like to let the aggression out. But you know what? We need to be forceful at times with the kingdom of heaven as well. We need to actually take seriously the mission that God has given us. And it's an incredible mission. And we just use the gifts that God has given us and the way that he's wired us in a small group setting so that we can win others to Christ as well. And so we're going to reach out together in this coming month or so. See, advancement requires offensive behavior. We are the army of God. And the kingdom of heaven advances. If we had sat on our laurels and done nothing, when Susan and Andrea and my daughter went to Africa, nothing would have happened. But we didn't. We said, how can we help? We started to see the kingdom of God. What did we do? We went on the offensive. We started to attack. We went into Philippines later. My wife just goes and does all the easy stuff. She goes in there first. You know, she went at Christmas time to the Philippines, and now we're starting to work with that church. We're going to help some indigenous and do some teaching up there in the near future. It's amazing. But someone's got to forge ahead and say, we believe in you as a people. And that's what I love about this church. It doesn't matter who you are, we believe in you. We believe in you. See, we might be called like the religious people probably look at us and go, you're nuts. Have you ever been called that? Hope for the right reasons, not the wrong ones. Some Christians would call us fundamental. But really, we're simply following the word of God for our lives. And like the people in the crowd and the tax collectors, by believing Jesus, we're acknowledging that God's way is right. I'm going to get to this in a minute. We can't stand still. We've got to get amongst the people to win some. What does the Bible say? Attack. Oh, you're not getting this enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, attack. No, more violently. Attack. See, religious people will want to do life on their terms. Seriously, this is what's happening. They want to do life on their terms, the way that they think it needs to be done, because they don't want to upset their lifestyle and the way they've got their life all planned out. Well, you know, when you've got a life with God, it's anything but. I never in a million years thought I'd go to Liberia, Susan. You're a naughty girl. But now we're enjoying the fruits of it and we're able to benefit them and they're able to benefit us. They are so good at community, it blows my socks off. So if God's way is right, we can't stand still. And so Jesus actually refers to them as children playing games, the religious people. You're just a bunch of guys that just, oh, give me that, that's mine. What are you doing that for? Instead, we should have good news on our lips because we're trying our best to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so when the man stretched out his hand on a Sabbath day, who gives a rip that it's a Sabbath? Seriously. God says your faith has saved you. Come on. Religious people will not attack anything. They'll write all sorts of stuff negatively on the internet. Don't even go there. It's bad news. We trust people that are in the local church, that build community, are in connect groups, and are being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So follow Jesus' lead, yeah? Follow Jesus' lead. Second, when we reach out, Jesus is able to meet needs. When we reach out, Jesus is able to meet needs. There's this story about a little boy who's, well, it actually starts before that, but you don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Lots of little boys in the Bible. Jesus went in a boat to get some quiet time with his disciples. And on his journey, he says, let's go over to that, looks like no one can get there, let's go over to the hillside there, it was a lovely grassed area, to get away from the crowds, because he just needed to refocus. Even Jesus needed to re-energize himself, spend time with his Father. He wanted to teach his disciples some things, but somehow the crowd found their way to the grassed area where they'd... And so Jesus is teaching the people on the side of the hillside, and it's now the sun setting. It's getting quite late in the day, and the disciples were getting really hungry. And so the disciples go, I've got a plan, Jesus. It was their own plan. It was for their own benefit. I've got a plan. Why don't we send all the people out to the neighboring villages so that they can find food for themselves? But really what they wanted to do was feed themselves. And so that's why they, because they knew Jesus. They already knew what Jesus was like. And so that was what they devised. And so Jesus actually turns to them and goes, you feed them. Now, I reckon Thomas would have arced up at this because he was kind of like a bit doubtful anyway. And he would have gone, what? He would have said something like, because it was known to be about 8 months' wages, and that's just for a smidgen of a bit of bread each for the 5,000. How are we going to feed these people? Jesus always has a reply, doesn't he? Go and find out how much food we've got. And amongst 5,000 people, there's this one boy. He had a really good mum. Seriously, he did. Out of all those people, he had two like little sardines and 5 loaves of bread. She's enjoying our message this morning. It's all good. You know, and you know, 5 loaves of bread. And they weren't like our loaves. They weren't like Baker's Delight. Big, fat, you know. They were flat bread. They were about, they could fit in your hand. They were just a snack. Jesus goes, I want you to feed the people with what we've got. And he prayed. He lifts, Father, always good to do that. Father, help. They start filling the baskets with little scraps for each of the 12. Jesus has got them all in groups of 50s, 100s on the grass there. And Thomas just, he couldn't look. And he's kind of like going like this. And the guys are taking a bit of bread. And then he goes, oh, what is going on? Why are people grabbing it? He says he couldn't, but turns around. There's a Jewfish sitting in his basket. And the people are just eating. And then James has actually got this big barracuda sitting in his basket and he's feeding the whole family. And before you know it, this, I don't know if it, they had Red Emperor over there, but it doesn't matter. They had this Red Emperor. And they were, the Bible actually says that they had so much food that they had enough left. They had so much more than when they started. So much more left over when they started. You know what? When we reach out in God, when we trust God's leading or the direction that we feel when we've been led in by, as a church, God can do the rest. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have it all together. Like we don't have to even know hardly any of the Bible. God works it out. And when it comes to Alpha, well, we can learn it too. So if you don't know your Bible, the beauty is you can facilitate the course and learn Alpha at the same time as your friends. You can be a Christian 1 week and God's going to meet the needs of the others. How cool is that? Whew. Our faithfulness to God's call on our life is the most important part. All we need is attitude, a good one. 99% of a good attitude is what we need. The miraculous hand of God is our willingness to stretch a little for Him. And when we're driven by love for others, there's likely to be a divine transaction to meet every need. Belong to God, belong by being a friend, and belong by being driven by love. We can have a coffee with someone this coming month. We can do that. We can be at work and just have a chat. Hey, I've got a course that actually, what do you Christians believe? You know, I've heard that lots. Well, we say, actually, we've got a 7-week course coming up. You can actually find out. And our progress in relationship with Jesus increases and strengthens when we develop God's heart for those who don't know Him and for those who need their faith strengthened. Wow. See, when we reach out, God strengthens us. Can you imagine the disciples? Can you imagine how they would have been? Like, okay, they were hungry, but I'm sure, because it says everyone was fed. It says all. So the disciples, this is amazing. So they thought, oh, we're never going to get any food now. Look what Jesus is up to. Come on. We all think a bit, when you're hungry, who gets a bit, you know, Yeah, well, if I get like that, Andrea says, give him some food. And you know, can you imagine the joy and the laughter on that hillside? Can you imagine how the people were like, wow! Can you imagine the stories that went around? And they always get bigger and bigger, of course, but hey, there was very little to start with, so the bigger the better on this occasion. We started off with this little sardine and we ended up with a multitude of the best kinds of fish and that bread. Where did Jesus find it? My goodness. You see, there is a spiritual war for every person's soul. You can't tell me that people didn't believe in God after this event. And every time we run a small group or we run something where there's unchurched in it, there's always a war and we always feel our tiredness. We always fight with our girlfriend, our wife, our whatever it is. You know, there's always something that goes wrong and it's because there's a battle for people's lives to be in the kingdom rather than in hell. And so when we push through together, when we as a church say, you know what, we're doing this together. How can I help and be involved? We can make a huge difference. Thirdly, we get blessed by reaching out. We get blessed by reaching out. We get blessed. You know, I was so blessed after Easter Sunday. I came home and I was a different person because I love it when people receive of the goodness of God for the first time in their life, say, yeah, I want to receive Jesus. Oh, that just does more. It doesn't matter what else happens, really. Because aren't we here to advance the kingdom of God? But there's 12 baskets left over. The disciples wanted food for themselves. Jesus blessed them. There's still food left over. The little boy backs up the truck to his mum's house. My goodness. She goes, where did you steal all this food from? It was given to me by the Lord Jesus. When we step out, there's always room for God. My goodness. You finish on this and Avina's going to come for 5 minutes, aren't you? Yeah? Mark 9, 34 to 35. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. You must shoulder your cross and follow me. Mark 9, 34, AG. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find what? True life. That's verse 35. The spirit of service, listen to me just for a second. The spirit of service is the passport to eminence in the kingdom of God. What were the disciples doing? They're arguing. I'm greater than you. Look what I did. Look how many people came to become disciples through what I just did the other day. You know, we've got this competition thing happening in our lives and all we need to do is work together to build God's kingdom. It's not about who's greatest, but what I love about it is all our talents are different and God uses them all for his benefit. No one misses out. We all have purpose. Look what goes on. Verse 36. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul in the process? Seriously. Verse 37. Is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Verse 37. Is anything worth more than your soul? This month is about praying and asking for opportunities and connecting with friends and acquaintances in order to invite people to our Alpha. Avina, why don't you come? Let's welcome Avina. Yeah, throw us the mic. We're not literally. Just 5 minutes, just because you've got some stuff you want to talk about, I know.
Yes, I do. Sorry. I just have my mobile phone here so I can tell myself 5 minutes.
Nice
so.
And close, yeah, the mic.
Nice and close. All right. So it says 11:26 on my phone, Nigel.
I'll give you five minutes.
You give me 5 minutes. All right, if I talk like a bullet train, then I do ask you to excuse me because I get really excited. And if you know you've got 5 minutes to talk about 15 minutes presentation, it's not going to be easy. Now, I'm going to talk really slowly, all right, because I want you to hear me. I think Nigel has really talked about Alpha, and I really want to start by saying that Alpha it's not going to be another program. I think it's really important. Both Nigel and I have talked about it. We said, look, we really don't want to promote Alpha as another program that our church run. And to me, it boils down to what Alpha is to me. And Alpha to me, and I'm sure, Nigel, you're on the same page with me, is Alpha is actually a call to the discipleship journey. So it is a call to the journey of discipleship. So that's why we're not compelling everyone to do it. But if you know someone who is on that journey of finding more about life, it could be your neighbor, it could be a partner, it could be someone that you work with, someone at the shop. If that person in your daily conversation, you feel that is ready to start on this journey of finding more about Christian faith, or even yourself, if you find that, hey, you know what, this year, I really want to grow in my relationship with God, and maybe you never really had a chance to kind of, you know, have someone go down with you, talk about the fundamentals of Christian faith, then Alpha is also for you. So can I just put it out there that Alpha is not another program that we're pushing down on you? I ask that you prayerfully consider it for yourself or for someone that you might come across. It is a call to the discipleship journey. All right, so I thought I would say that. So I'm going to just start by saying that, AJ, if I can go to the next slide, what Alpha is. So I'm using the acronym Alpha. How smart, right? I have to say, I have to acknowledge that's not my idea. It is from Adrian Gray, who came in and did a training for us last year. So he basically said, well, first of all, Alpha is for anyone. That's a typo there. A is anyone, and I've basically covered that. It is for anyone, no matter what age, no matter what background, how long you've been a Christian. If you feel that you are ready to go on a journey of discipleship, grow in your faith, know someone who is, please invite them, anyone. All right, it is about learning and laughter. Nigel keep talking about 7 weekly sessions. It is going to be a 7 weekly sessions, and what happened with Alpha, it is a 30 minutes video presentation that you watch, followed by a short facilitation. We've got the video out there later. If you want to be keen and check the guy out who is doing the presentation, not sure he is, please feel free to stand there and just listen. That's the video that we will be using. And really, actually, when I was thinking about Alpha, it just struck me that Jesus actually practiced some principles of Alpha that's there.
Yeah.
If you look at it, Jesus never really, correct me if I'm wrong, but I hardly read in the Bible about Jesus teaching in a synagogue. Where is Jesus always teaching? He's always out where the people is. You know, he make use of a conversation around the table, and he would be talking about lessons. He's teaching on the hillside, on the mountains. He is where the people is. You know, I never really hear about Jesus teaching in a synagogue. You know, so I think the best way sometimes to bring the message of the gospel around is it's not in church. I mean, church is a great place to bring people, but sometimes we need to get where to the people is. And that's what Alpha is about. Alpha is about bringing the message of the gospel in a very neutral setting. So it can be in a home. If your home is available, you can meet in a cafe if there's a video player that you can watch on a laptop. It can be in your office if you can get hold of a office room or something like that. It can be in the lecture theater. If you're in uni, you can book a hall. You could do that. It is a neutral setting. We're not inviting people to come to church and sit down and listen to the pastor preach, although we all love Nigel's preaching. All right, so it is about learning and laughter, you know. It is about pizza and pasta. And I'm so glad, Nigel, you shared that verse, Luke 7:34, because I was thinking, you know what? Where there is food and where there's drink, Jesus is always right there. And what makes Alpha unique is that each session of Alpha is going to start with just sharing of food. And we're not saying fancy food. It could be just drinks and labels. But really to give people a chance to relax and just, you know, you could be coming out from a working day and you're all tired. But, you know, if you have a glass of drink, or not saying get drunk, okay. If you're just, you know, having some nibbles and drinks, it breaks the ice, and then you're ready to kind of sit down for a half an hour video followed by a short discussion. And I think that's something that I think Jesus did pretty well.
Because the Alpha's pretty short, right?
It is. It's going to be 1.5 hours, not more than that.
Yeah.
1.5 hours, more than that. So pizza and pasta, Alpha is also about that. And let me see. So
talk to the church about just what you've got happening outside, so they can talk to you there and finish off.
Okay. So basically, if you want to know about Alpha, what you want to find out about Alpha, we've got the booth set out there. I've got the materials out there. If you want to have a browse and look at what's going to be covered, you can. We also, most importantly, got invites that's on every second chair, actually. So some of you might be sitting on some postcards, but that's actually an invite. So we've got extra invites that you can pick up, and we really want you to use the next week or two to, you know what, drop it in someone's post box, or better yet, give it to someone personally and say, my church is running a 7-week course and think about it. So what we really would like you to do is, once you've put out an invite, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to have an alpha booth set up. We'd like you to put your name down, the name of your guest down, so that we want to be able to put you in a group. And then, like what Nigel said, you will be meeting. We'll try and, if your home is available, better yet. Otherwise, we will sort out everything. And we're going to start launching on 6th of May, actually.
Yeah.
So 6th of May, for 7 weeks consecutively, we're going to try and get a few alpha groups, people who are interested to know more about faith, and go on a journey together.
And April 30, people are getting trained.
So if you put your hand up, look, you know, you might think that, hey, you know, I've been a Christian for a long, I don't think Alpha is for me. But you know what? We need facilitators. We need hosts. So if you are happy to open up your host, and anyone can basically lead a group. If you know how to operate the DVD player in your home, you can be a host. If you know how to put out food, you can be a host. So if you are happy to do that, put your name down, and then we will have a very short training on the 30th of April, Tuesday, just an hour or even half an hour, because really anyone can do alpha, like I said.
Yeah,
but we're just going to run through a housekeeping matter about how an alpha group is run, because it is not run like a connect group, all right? It is run quite differently, so we just want to make sure if you're a host of the alpha group that you kind of run it the way it's meant to be run. All right.
Beautiful. Let's give Vina a hand this morning. Thanks. Wouldn't be able to do what we do without great people helping behind the scenes. And Avena is a great administrator, great to use the people's giftings. Let's pray. Let's stand to our feet for a moment. Father God, why don't we just lift our hands to heaven for a moment? Lord, I pray for all of us today. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities to reach out, Father. And Lord, that as we reach out, Lord, that you will meet the gap where we can't see that we have enough fuel in our tanks or enough wisdom or whatever. I thank you, Lord, that you always meet when we're available. Lord, let today be the start of attacking the kingdom of God and seeing people's lives turned around for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.